And again, we're going through a good study. It's called Resolving Everyday Conflict. And so come back and you can learn how to resolve conflict a little better. But conflict is an important part of life. It just happens, right? There's no two of us that are going to agree on everything. Amen? I mean, if you got two people, you're going to have two different opinions about stuff. And there's always... you know, the Bible to help guide us through here, but did you even notice whenever you're reading the Bible together with another person, there's even sometimes some disagreements over what some of those passages mean, too. And so learning how to deal with that in a healthy way is really important that we can go on together and have unity. And some days to remember, March the 3rd. Grow team means that we go out and do visits, okay? That's like visitation or visiting our neighbors or going different places and witnessing. And that happens at around 10:30 after our morning prayer on Saturday mornings, which is at 8:30. And we had a group that went out yesterday and handed out some invitations to come to church, those little cards that we have. And they say they also have a website on the back. A lot of you guys are familiar with those. If you went out yesterday to hand out cards or whatever, how about standing for a minute? Everybody that handed out cards yesterday and did some visitation. All right. Yeah, it was awesome. How many did you hand out, Rachel? Four? All right. We had others that we just didn't even count. We had a whole pocket full of cards or whatever. Do any of you guys have anything that you want to say about yesterday? I thought it was a great time. Yeah? I hope you guys talked more yesterday. So, anyway, how about, does anybody have anything? Was it hard for you to do? Was it really hard to hand people cards, or how'd that all work out? Was it a little bit scary at first? Yeah, a little bit at first, yeah? It got easier as you went on doing it, didn't it? Yeah. Did you have pretty much a positive response? Yeah, you had a few people that were like, oh, I don't want to talk about church or whatever. But, you know, it wasn't like earth-shattering. It wasn't the end of the world, so they didn't take a card. It's okay. But for the vast majority of the people, they accepted the card. They were happy to get it. They were intrigued and interested to look up the website, truelife.org. Yes, sir, Mr. Joe. All right. Joe handed out four cards yesterday, too. In fact, he was my partner. He was my prayer partner. You guys can sit down now if you want. But he was my prayer partner, and he also had a handful of cards. And he said, Dad, if you're talking to somebody and there's somebody getting away, I'll make sure and hand them one, okay? So he... Oh, coming over. I'm sorry. I misunderstood. Yeah. So if anybody else came over while I was talking to somebody, and the first guy I talked to, it was like a 15-minute conversation. And so he got a chance to hand out a couple during that time. It was a good conversation. But just having those gospel conversations is important with people. And so we don't know for sure how many of those people will look up that website, but for those who do, they're going to get some good answers to a lot of questions about the Bible and about walking with the Lord and different things about life. Next week, we're going to start our emphasis on the Week of Prayer for North American Missions. And don't forget that on March the 13th, there's Pro-Life Lobby Day. And March the 17th, we're going to have a ladies' brunch here at 10:30 a.m. Now, if you're wondering what Pro-Life Lobby Day is at Jeff City, what we do is we head out there kind of early in the morning together, and anybody that wants to go can either carpool or we can go together just kind of in a line or just meet there at Jeff City, whatever. But we go in, we have an opportunity to talk to our legislators about different pro-life legislation that they may be getting ready to debate on the floor, and we encourage them to know that they have our support as Missouri citizens to pass that legislation. It's an important day. And so don't be afraid to go. And we'll be able to find out what kind of things they're proposing this year. And they usually have some really good stuff on the docket, and they need our encouragement. And then around noon, they'll have a pro-life rally right there in the Capitol building. And a lot of our legislators will come down and join us. And that's always a great time. So I want to encourage you. Yes, sir. Absolutely. All right. Brother Joe said that one of the guys he gave a card to said he was going to look into it later on. So, well, that works out good. All right. Do we have any other announcements or praises or anything anybody wants to say? Yes, Tara. So everybody sent home a greetings to her. So we were at Walmart. That's where we passed out the majority of our cards. And guess what? You see a lot of people at Walmart. We even found a couple good deals. So we had a good time yesterday. But enjoyed spending the day with the folks that went as well. All right, well, we're going to have a word of prayer now. And Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father, I just want to thank you for your goodness, Lord. You have done so much for us. It is our joy to be able to tell others about how great you are, Lord, just in some small way, just to connect with them. I pray for all those cards that were handed out yesterday that you would just do a mighty work in the lives of the individuals, Lord. They would look into them, and Lord, that you would just fight the battles in the spiritual battles in this community over people's souls, Lord, that you would draw people to yourself. Help people to be free from all of the sin and strife in their own hearts and minds, Lord, and strife against you. And Lord, just free them from all of that they might be set free to serve you with a right heart, Lord, that they might truly be saved, they might be able to serve you and just be a part of your great plan for this world. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to grow this church daily and help us to stay connected together, that you would give us unity, that we would meet people at their point of needs and continue to grow that closeness in the body of Christ here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, looks like we got the box. Josiah made it with the box today. So bring that box up here. Do we have any other kids that want to come up and we'll see what's in it? All right. All right, we'll wait for the kids to make it up here and then we'll see what's inside. How are all of you guys doing today? It sure is nice to see you. You guys always brighten my day. All right, there's Miss Harper, too. My goodness, what a blessing. All right, let's see what's in the box. Well, looky here. Can anybody tell me what this is?
A ball.
It's a ball. What kind of ball is it? Well, the ball says it's four square. We got that part. All right, what else can you use this ball for? Everybody probably knows this ball a little bit different because they might do different things with it. Huh? A dodgeball? A gaga ball? Yeah, that sounds strange, doesn't it? Gaga ball? That's really a cool game, though. We learned it in the summer going to a summer camp that you get inside of this weird-shaped box and you try to hit each other in the legs with it. Whoever gets hit below the waist?
No, the knee and down.
The knee and down. There you go. They're out. And so that's how some people know this ball. Does anybody play any other kind of sport with this ball? Yes? Kickball. That was always my favorite. I always like to play kickball with one of these. Or pumpkin ball. Do you ever play pumpkin ball? You use a bat with it, and you bounce it and hit it. It's the same ball, but it's used for a lot of different purposes, isn't it? And dodgeball can be somebody's favorite, where you throw it at the other person. If it hits them, they're out. Yeah, there you go. But Josiah got this ball yesterday, and he's real excited about learning to play getting a gaga ball thing started at our house, and that way we can play it there. But you know, what I was thinking about whenever I saw that ball, we've all had different experiences with the same sort of item, and so it kind of is used for different purposes with each one of us. Some of you might just see it as being something laying in the yard when you got to mow the grass and you got to move it too, you know. So we can all look at it a little different. It can have a different purpose in all of our lives, but it's kind of like how we are with God. Have you ever noticed? Hold up your right hand. You know which one's your right hand? Hold up your right hand. All right. Wiggle your fingers. Okay? We all got them. All right? God has a special plan for those fingers he gave you, for that hand he gave you, for that arm he gave you. He's got a special plan for each one of you guys, and it may look a little bit different how you live that out. You know, how many presidents of the United States do we have at one time? How many people get to be the president on the same day? Only one, right? Only one. And so there's a person who's created by God with special gifts, and he knows who that person is, and they can become the president, okay? How many doctors are there? There's a whole bunch of doctors, aren't there? And there's some doctors that are really good. They're very gifted at what they do. Okay? And you got people that do all different kinds of things. Do you know that when God created each one of you, He has a special plan for each one of you? And He wants you to give Him the glory. So you need to grow in the area that He has created you to, that you can become very good at what He gives you gifts for, and then give Him all the glory because He's the one who made you the way you are, and He's got a special plan for each one. So just like this ball, there's a gazillion of these balls that look like this, and they get to do different things. Well, how many people do you think there are on the earth right now?
7 billion something.
Yeah, somewhere over 7 billion people, it's estimated. That's a lot of people. Can you count those on your fingers and toes? No, it's a lot more than that. Okay, and God's got a special plan for each one of you guys. Did you know that? So we want to find out what that is. Okay? And if you'll trust Jesus and follow Him, and He gives you not only salvation where you can live in heaven forever, but He gives you the Holy Spirit to live in you. He also gives you spiritual gifts, and He will work that out in your lives. And each one of you guys are beautiful. He's got a good plan for you. Let me pray for you, okay? That you will know what God created you for, and you'll do it with all your heart, okay? Dear Father, as these little children grow, I pray that You would use them in the way that You have created them. Lord, that as their parents and grandparents and people in the church, that we will encourage them in the way that they are created to be what You created them to be, to bring You all the glory. And above all, I pray they would all trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Because we are all sinners. We all do things that are wrong. And we need Your forgiveness. And the only way we can truly find it is through Jesus, our Savior. Thank You for dying on the cross for us, Jesus. You are the only one that ever lived a perfect life. And so when You died on that cross, You paid for our sins. Thank You, Jesus. And for all those who trust You, we will live forever with You. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, so we got to figure out who gets the box next. So Josiah had it this time. Do we have any other names to start with a J? Help me out here. Do we have names to start with a J? All right, what comes after J? K. Do we have any names to start with a K? All right, that'd be good. Can you give me five? All right. You'll take the box. You can bring it back. All right, perfect. Very good. Maybe you can let your brother help you figure out something, too. They look like a good team there. All right. All right, guys. So does anybody have anything they want to share this morning as far as praise reports, testimonies, or even a special music? All right. Well, it's good to see everybody here this morning. I will definitely say that. I want to praise the Lord for all of you that contribute to the kingdom of God and to its advancement here in Gadet, Missouri. Do y'all love your neighbors when you look around? Do you love them? I pray you do. Ask God for even a greater love from day to day because, you know, guys, that's what compels us to want to reach out to them, to love them as close to Jesus as possible. And God does all the other part inside the heart. But, you know, oftentimes, I don't know about you guys, but I've had a bad habit in my life. It started back whenever I was a little kid. When my mom and dad used to tell me to do something, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that's like this, but I always had a bad thing about thinking I would rather do that later. Do you guys ever have that thought? Not do something right now, but do it later, you know? And I mean, I can remember getting in trouble for it. I can remember my dad, you know, and he'd really come down on me, and he'd let me know all about it. And I would think, well, man, why is he being so harsh? He should know I was going to do it later, right? I just never could figure out what the big deal was. So what? I didn't clean up my room, right? I was going to do it later, right? I mean, you know, how about your homework at school? Did you ever turn in that assignment that wasn't really done, but you were planning on doing it later? How'd your teacher feel about that? Huh? Did you get a good grade on it? Did you do well with it? Uh-oh. Yeah. So I'm going to ask you something. Did later ever work out very well for you? All right. What if you were going to add oil to your engine that really needed it later?
Too late.
Too late. Yeah. I did that to a log splitter this year. You know, I kept thinking, I need to check the oil in that thing when it was running. Well, you can't check the oil when it was running. And I kept thinking, I'll do that later. And I was splitting wood one day, and later came. It made some weird smoke right before it quit. So see, that's the thing about later, guys. We keep putting things off. Sometimes it's too late, right? Sometimes it becomes too late. That word later can really be a bummer. And so we're going to look at that word a little bit today. So how many times do we intend to obey God later? Do you ever do that? Do you ever tell God later? Yeah, later, Lord. I'll deal with that later. We need to really look at that word a little bit. So let's look at the word later just a little bit. I know it seems like overkill, but let's just think about the implications of that word, what it really means. Number one, later means no for now. Doesn't it? Like if you're saying later, then that means I'm saying no right now. I'll do it later, but for now it's no. Okay? That sounds like a good idea to tell God no. Did you ever think about being bold-faced, standing before the God of the universe and saying, no? That doesn't sound like a very good idea, does it? Okay, everybody's shuddering for me right now. He knows I'm just trying to illustrate a point. Okay, we're cool. All right. Because it sounds so foolish. We would not. Most of us would be smart enough to not do that. But I want you to think about it. When you say later, you're doing that. Okay? Every one of us. Think about it. It's a pretty big deal. Later also means some other things. So we're going to look at that too. It means we think something else is more important. Right? It means that the reason why we're saying later to God is because, hey, God, I'll get to that later on. Because you see, right now, this is about me. And I'm more important than you. Okay? Or this is about this other person, and they're more important than you somehow. Okay? That's another one. Is anybody more important than God? Anything more important than God? No, it really isn't. So I think we're on the same page here, but we need to think about what that word later means. How about later means we think we have more time? Isn't that what later's saying? If I say I'll do that later, then you are making a statement that you are sure that you're going to be here later. Well, number one, you're not even sure if you'll be breathing later. Number two, you're not sure if you'll be in a position that you can actually complete the task later, right? Yeah. Later is a very dangerous word. So let's think about another one. Later also means that we think we can do it ourselves when we want. That is also saying that we think we are powerful enough to do it in our own strength. Now, here's another thought for you on later. If God tells you to do something, okay, and Jesus has told you that if you're tired and weary, you need to come get in the yoke with him, okay? What's a yoke? Yoke is something that pulls, right? It's like an apparatus that you'd hook to a wagon or something, and it has two slots in it, one on each side. Jesus is already in the one, and he's saying, hey, John, come on over here and get in this thing with me, and we're going to pull the load together, okay? And if I say, later, and Jesus may not be there for me to help me with that later. And I'm thinking, really, honestly, I'm basically telling Jesus, I don't want your help right now. Okay? Do you think that's a wise choice for me to tell him that? You see, when he calls me to come, that's the time to come because that's when I can see that he is there to help me in that matter. I'll tell you, you might think that sounds weird because we know God is everywhere all the time. But see, Israel did this to God whenever it came time to take the promised land. He sent the spies in to check it out in the book of Exodus. And they went in to check it out. And whenever they looked at it, they got scared and they decided not to go. Okay? And then after a few days, they thought about it. And the people of Israel rose up and they said, oh my goodness, we have disobeyed God. Okay, now we'll go. We'll just do it on our own strength. And they said, bad idea. You better wait on God. You better ask Him. You know, they went in, they tried to do it on their own, and they couldn't. You see, that's what happens to us. The time to go with God is when He calls you to go with Him. Don't tell Him later. Because later means no for now. Later means we think something else is more important. Later thinks we're going to have more time. And later also is assuming that somehow or another we think we can do it on our own anytime we feel like it. Yes, sir.
Billy Graham, where he had a revival going on, it was on a Wednesday night, and this guy came up, and he asked him, he said, "Do you want to receive Christ?" And he said, "Not tonight." He said, "But I'll be back Friday night." He said, "Later." And between then and the Friday night, there was a shooting, but it was just a straight bullet that went and hit him in the head and killed him.
That is so true, and I had a similar experience, and I've shared it different times. I'll share it again. My uncle, my great uncle, was passing through from New Mexico to West Virginia, and God really put it on my heart that I needed to try to witness to him very early in my Christian walk, and I said later, and he went home, and he died later that week, and I never got a chance. So I want you to understand the word later is a very, very impactful word. We need to really be careful with this one. And how many times are we telling God later? I can't tell you. I couldn't count the number of people that I've talked to about salvation that have told me later. It's really a bad choice. They do not know that they'll have later. Brother Andy? Yeah, there was three people that had different reasons for later, didn't they? And that one, even in particular, you know, we would think, man, that is really important to bury a dead father, you know. And there's a lot of thoughts on that. Maybe the father was just getting ready to die. We don't know. Maybe he was saying he had to hang around until his father died. Maybe his father just died right away. But I can tell you, there's never a time when it's okay to tell God no, right? He's the God of the universe. And so something we need to think about. So we've kind of explored what later really means, because we think it's pretty simple. But ways that we might be saying later to God, let's explore a few of those. Number one, a lot of people are saying later to God on salvation. Okay? Bad idea. Don't do that. I actually have a relative, young relative, that I talked to about salvation, and they said later, because I've still got more fun I want to have. What are they saying? I don't want to commit to Jesus right now because I want to go on and sin, and I'll just trust that I'll get another chance later on. Well, first of all, sin's not really that, it's not really the kind of fun it promises to be, amen? If you're a person in here that has sinned thinking it was going to be fun, but you wound up finding out it was a trap, raise your hand right now. It's a trap. It's just a delayed trap. Sin really gives you a lot of promise, but in the long run, it never delivers any of its promises. It's always bad. So whenever it comes to salvation, don't be thinking later. In fact, the Word tells us right now, today is the day of salvation. Okay? Other ways that we might be saying later to God is on serving. You know, God calls you to step out and serve in a certain area, to do some task within the body of Christ, and we say, I'll just do that later. Bad idea. I kept trying that on my own account whenever he called me to the ministry, and I was like, later. Yeah. Well, God had to severely discipline me. I can tell you it wasn't pleasant. So, best thing to do is just say, yes, Lord. Okay? Another way we might be saying later to God, studying His Word. How many of you do that? I'll study later. Huh? Yeah. And a lot of times later just doesn't ever come, right? Another way that we might be saying later to God is in stewardship, okay, our financial giving, and stewardship of your time as well. You know, all of that stuff kind of goes together. But a lot of times we say, I'll give to the work of the Lord later whenever I have extra. Do you ever feel that way? Have you ever thought of that? Well, I can tell you that day doesn't come, because either you give when God calls you to do that, or the later just never seems to come. I've known people who said later, and whenever they got richer, they still didn't give any more than whenever they were poor, because it's a condition of the heart, generosity, okay? And obedience. These things are all conditions of the heart. So we've kind of explored the word later. Let's think about something. Two words that don't belong in the same sentence. Later and Lord. They never belong in the same sentence. Later and Lord. You see, Lord means, let's say it together, master. Lord means master. He can't be your master if you say no to him. Okay? Master is the one we say yes to. Okay? If you had a servant and you were their master and you told them to do something and they said no, would you feel like that they were really your servant? Not really, right? Okay? If you don't really want to look at it like that, let's think of it as a job, as a worker, and a boss. Let's look at it from that perspective. Okay? If you're a boss and you're looking to hire somebody to do a task for you, and they turn around and say no all the time or later all the time, how long would you as the boss put up with it? Some longer than others. It all depends on the person. Just a little while. I got somebody that's manages, and they're like, ooh, about that much, yeah? Okay, because it doesn't work. Why do we think it works with God? Okay, so let's keep that thought. So Lord and later should never be in the same sentence. Because Lord means master, and he's only your master if you say yes to him. He can't be your master if you're saying no. Okay? I think that sometimes we say later because we think we will have more to give in the future. Do you ever think about that? Okay? A lot of times people say that about even financial giving. Okay? I won't give now, but whenever I have more, I'll give. Okay? We do that with time, too. I'm not really serving right now because, you know, I'm really, really busy, but whenever I have more time, then I'll do that. Do you ever notice? If that's your excuse, the devil will keep you busy all the time. Okay? And I don't know if you guys have figured this out, but the more you make, generally, money-wise, the more things you can think to buy with it. Amen? Do I get an amen to that? It goes as fast as it comes in. So really, it's about principles of giving. It's about principles of serving. It's about, I'm going to give God a percentage of whatever, and that's why the tithe principle is so important whenever it comes to giving of your finances. God doesn't say to give a certain amount, he says to give a percentage. Okay? Just start there is what he's saying. You start there, and then I can assure you, you'll find such joy in it, you'll want to give more and more and more. Okay? That's just talking about with money. How about with your time? Have you ever thought about tithing on your time? Okay? I'm alive so many hours in a week, then I'm going to give a certain percentage of it to serving the Lord. Okay, whenever you think about that, out of obedience, serving, giving, going, in a percentage thing with the Lord, I want you to think about giving God the first fruit of it. Because, see, the first fruit principle is something else we find in the Scripture as well. You want to give Him the first part. Do you ever try to give God the leftovers? What happens to the leftovers? They keep shrinking and shrinking and shrinking and shrinking, and it doesn't even mean the same. If you say, all right, God, I'll give you something if it's left over, what are you really saying? You come last. But we got to remember something. God is actually the provider of the future. Do I get an amen to that? You don't even have a future unless God gives you one. You're not going to have anything, financial, time, or even energy, unless God gives it to you. So since He's the provider of all that, we will never have enough if we don't put God first. So it's a principle. You put God first and He makes it be enough. Okay? This is a principle even for a church organization. You know, this church tries to practice literally a tithe principle even on what comes into this church. We give back a percentage into the bigger work of the Lord immediately from the first fruit. And that's not just in money. We try to be involved in other things that's going on all over the place because we're to make disciples of all nations, and so we try to be involved in the bigger work of the Lord. What I will tell you is I found this to be true in my own life. If I put God last, I never have enough. If I put God first, I always have enough. Okay? And that's in all different arrays in life, including relationships with my family. I tried to pull back from God to say I need to spend this time with my wife. You know what? The best date night we ever have is when we go out and serve the Lord together. Do you ever have that date night that, you know, you were going to reserve that time? I got nothing against date nights. I love date night. I look forward to it. Do you ever have that date night where God kind of interrupted it for you to do something else and you told him no, and then the rest of the date night just seemed to be kind of sour? Did you ever have a date night where you and your spouse or whatever didn't really have as good a time and you wound up bickering on the way home? Did you ever have that? Maybe that was just me and my wife. Okay. Nobody else can relate. Right. It's happened. I did my best and it still fell apart. And what I found is if I just go ahead and put God first, I'll just give you an example. Okay. One time it was Valentine's Day and I was going to take my wife to see a movie. And for whatever reason, we had these friends, and they were kind of struggling, and some stuff was going on. And my wife suggested we take the lady friend with us. It did not sound very romantic to me. And so, nonetheless, we went ahead and put God first in that. And I can tell you, God has blessed our relationship beyond my wildest dreams. Okay? That was just one instance, but I'm just saying it became a principle in our life. God comes first, okay? I do not withhold my marital relationship from God and say it comes first. God comes first. God comes first with my children. God comes first in our family. You know why we pray before we eat? Because God needs to come first even before my appetite. Think about it. We put God first, He makes everything better. Amen? Do I get an amen from everybody? All right, so we're going to explore this through some different areas of the Scripture, what happens if we don't. All right, so the first place we're going to go is to the book of Haggai. It's in the Old Testament. We're in chapter 1, and you'll see verse 6 there, but I'm going to read a little bigger area of it, so if you want to open your Bibles, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. And then we're going to focus in on that chapter 1, verse 6. Okay, so chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. If you want to just listen, that's fine. If you want to open your Bibles, I'll give you a second to do that. But I'm going to give you a little background on this. Haggai is a prophet, and he's considered a minor prophet, not because he's less important, but because his book is smaller in the Bible, okay? So he's a minor prophet during the time that Israel was being released from their 70-year exile. In Babylon, they spent 70 years out of their homeland. Their temple was destroyed. Their worship system was destroyed. They were being allowed to go back, and they had sent a group back during the time of Cyrus, king over Babylon, and they had been sent back with the task of rebuilding the temple. It was a huge task. This meant everything to Israel because this meant they would be able to go back to their homeland and worship their God again. So it was huge. Well, the first group went back, and after they got back, they kind of started the temple, but they got sidetracked. And they said, we'll do that later. We're going to go ahead and build our houses now, and we will do that temple thing later. I'm sure God will understand. Do we ever do that? All right, so as we do, guys, we need to make sure we listen because we can learn from this. This is some really important stuff. So let's read this, starting in chapter 1, verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, the second month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Okay, so now they went back to build it, and then all of a sudden they changed their mind. Does that ever happen? Even in today's culture? Absolutely. We can be very double-minded sometimes. Okay? Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Guys, a day should not go by that we do not consider our ways before the Lord. We get up in the morning, consider your ways before the Lord. Ask Him to show you, is there anything that we need to work on today? And then tell Him yes, not later. But He's telling them now, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. It sounds like our culture today. We are going hard, fast, and in a hurry. We are trying to make as much money as we can, and we can never make enough. I am so glad I have an amen in the crowd today. Guys, I'm telling you, the reason why is because as a nation, we are not putting God first. And unfortunately, we got to be careful even in the church. These were the people of God, and they were forgetting to put God first. They were putting themselves first, and they were telling God later, when I get my life together, I'll do your work. And God said, no, if you draw back from me and you don't put me first, you will never have later. You'll never have that enough you're looking for. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. When God is happy, when He is pleased with His people, He pours out blessings untold. When He is pleased, He pours out the blessing. That's the one to please. You looked for much, verse 9, but indeed it came to little, and when you brought it home, it blew away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and on the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Guys, I'm going to speak to all of us here this morning, my brothers and sisters, my beloved. I just really want to impress upon us. I'm going to start with the young people in our group. Okay, I'm not picking on the youngins, but you got a life ahead of you. Okay? The world's going to tell you, you got to have all these things to make your life work for it to be good. And I'm going to tell you, you only really need to make sure you do the one thing right first. You put God first in your lives, God will direct the rest of your course. People may ask me, what would I like my children to do with their life? I tell them, number one, follow Jesus. If they will follow Jesus, everything else will fall into place. I know it for sure. Guys, that have families, that are raising families out here, men and women, that are still in their childbearing years and you're still trying to raise them up, I'm just going to tell you, in your family, put God first. I'm telling you, He's even more important than your job, because if it wasn't for Him, you wouldn't have a job. Don't forget it. Whenever it comes to your house, whenever it comes to the order of your home, whenever it comes to whenever you get ready to eat a meal, guys, you wouldn't even have that food to put on your table if it wasn't for God Himself blessing you with it. Bring Him glory. Thank Him first. Give back a thank offering. Guys, I really want to impress upon you. Now I'm going to get to the retired folk. Retirement is just more opportunity, I believe, to serve the Lord. Don't take retirement and think, okay, now I've done my work, I'm going to let everybody else do it from now on. Maybe your work, maybe you can't go the same pace as you did before. I'm learning that one. I'm pushing 50, so I'm getting the idea. I know. I look older, but that's the truth. I was hard on myself. Guys, what I'm understanding is, as I'm looking at the latter years, I want to finish well. Amen. I don't want to finish trying to just skate along go with the flow, because I'm going to tell you, the flow of the world is going the wrong way. I'm going to keep swimming upstream till the day Jesus comes home. I may not be able to swim as fast, and we're going to need some of these younger people to come along and help. But you see, I want to be in it until the day I draw my last breath, trying to make sure that we're handing this faith down to the next generation. We're giving them a good example. So let's finish well. Let's put God first, even in our retirement. Amen? Retirement's just a greater opportunity to serve the Lord, really. He's the one who blessed you up to this point. He's the reason why we're still here. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. If we don't, we are going to be earning wages to put in a bag with holes. You can't trust the bank. You can't trust anywhere you put your money. How many 401ks failed and all that stuff? We need to entrust every resource we have to Almighty God and put Him first, and He will take care of it. He is the one. Jesus told us that. He said, don't store up your treasures here where moth and rust destroy. Store up your treasures in heaven. Now, I don't know. Whenever I make out the deposit slip at Enterprise Bank, I haven't seen the box I can check for heaven yet. That's something that I got to do with it by giving it to the work of the Lord. And I want to send as much of it to heaven as possible because you get 100% return. How many other investments do you get 100% return? For all you investment people out there, probably not very many. So let's put God first. 2 Corinthians tells us kind of a better example of this. He says, moreover, brethren, we made known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. You see, the churches in Macedonia, and I think this is actually talking about the church of Philippi, because if you read in Philippi in the book of Philippians, it talks about how they gave out of their poverty. They didn't wait until they had leftovers. They heard about a need in the church of God, and they gave. They had something to do with it, okay? Now again, I'm not just talking about money, so don't come here and hear that all the preacher talked about today was money. I'm talking about your time. Two, give it. Because if you'll give a first fruit of it, God will make the rest of it better. You know, I got saved at 30, and I realized I hadn't done real good at giving God His part. I had lived 30 years without giving God really any thought. And so whenever I got saved, I realized I got a lot of catching up to do. That's the reason why when the doors were open in the church, I was there trying to get taught. Because I really wanted to grow in the Lord. It mattered to me. And so I encourage you as well, give to the Lord. I can tell you it won't take from your family. It'll help your family be stronger as you all do it together. You know, praise God. We can do this thing together as a family. We can serve the Lord together. But just think about it. Out of their deep poverty, they abounded in the riches of their liberality. You see, they were rich because they were generous. I know a lot of rich people who are very stingy. But you know, they may have money, but they don't have anything abounding in their heart. They're very poor inside. I've heard of people dying with millions and acting like they had nothing. Why? Because they had a heart problem. I want you to give to the Lord first. And I'm not talking about just with your money. I'm talking about with your whole life. Proverbs 19:17, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. And the Lord, He will pay back what He has given. Store it up in heaven. Pass the blessing on to your descendants as well. Let's look at Psalm 37, verses 25 and 26. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. You want to give your kids a blessing. Number one blessing you can give them is for them to see you serving the Lord with all your heart and your mind and your soul and even your finances. It's awesome how God gives us resources to share back. And the more He knows we'll share, I think the more He'll let flow through us too. You know, if God knows that we're going to be faithful with it, I think He's even more generous. But guys, it starts with really committing your heart to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So let me ask you something. After thinking about it, do you think Lord and later fit in the same sentence? I don't think it's a good answer to giving. I think yes and Lord is what really makes him your Lord. And it's a daily test. It's a daily process. And we're going to fail sometimes. You know it? I still do. Sometimes I say later. I think about it and it's like, well, that wasn't probably the best answer, was it? The time to give to the Lord is when he calls you to do it. Okay? So let's practice on saying yes. And the first step of saying yes is really admitting that you're a sinner, realizing Jesus is the only way and giving your life to him. I pray you've already done that. I pray that everybody in this house is already saved. I pray that you really know the Lord and you are heaven bound. I really do hope that. But if you're not and you know it, then today is the day of salvation. Don't you dare tell him later. Don't you dare. Because you may get hit with that stray bullet. And you may not ever have another chance. It's serious business. So whatever God's calling you to today, I pray you'll say yes and start doing it today. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, I just want to pray for us as a congregation. Lord, I pray for myself first. God, help me to do what you tell me to do today. Help me not to put it off till tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to have tomorrow. James in the Bible tells us that as well. And the Bible says that none of us know if tomorrow will ever come in our own life. You're the one that knows the number of our days. So if you're telling me to do it today, you intend for me to start doing it today. Help me, Lord, to say yes. Otherwise, you're not really my Lord. And Lord, we all fall short. And when we do, I pray that we'll realize that you're the God who allows us to come confess our sins. And you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we have to come and confess. We have to come and repent. So Lord, help us to keep our lives on short accounts with you. And Lord, help us to keep looking to you. And we know that you're an awesome God. Thank you for being so patient with us. But let us not continue to test your patience. Let us just say yes to you. And Lord, I think about in the Bible, whenever they called on Israel to give toward the building of the tabernacle, Moses actually had to tell the people to stop giving because they were giving too much. I pray that it would be like that in the church today. Whenever it comes to having an opportunity to serve, an opportunity for different things that this church has been called to do, that we will have over and abundantly more than what we need because the people of God will give. Give our time, give our talents, give our finances when necessary, but give when you tell us to. So Lord, please just bless us to say yes to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you're not, you can be.
Amen.
All you got to do is go to Jesus. I'm glad you didn't say later to come into church. You were here today. I'm proud of you. That's awesome. And I also want to bring up one thing. Whenever you say later and you're putting something off and you know it's looming and you need to do it, how you feel about it? It makes you feel miserable, don't it? That's why the churches are kind of filled with a lot of miserable people these days. Because they're putting stuff off. And I can tell you, I put off a lot of stuff about serving God, and I was still sitting in a pew and stuff. And you know, God would... They give opportunities to do something, and I'd go, nah, later. Yeah, later. And I was really miserable, you know? And finally, the later came to today, and I finally just said, yes, and I just went. And I'm just going to tell you, I've never regretted those times that I've spent serving the Lord. You know? It really is. It's an awesome opportunity. We have Wednesday night services here as well, and we have children's activities and stuff like that. And I'll be honest with you, we got a real lack of people to serve in these different opportunities too. And as you get more involved and work alongside of some of the people that are doing stuff, it would be awesome to see more people in these different opportunities to serve. You know, we are desperately needing a van driver on Wednesday nights. We can't really get kids here. Our teachers are doing the driving. And so if you can be free at around 5 o'clock, 5:30. And you got a driver's license, and you can pass the background check, and you can ride with another person and go out and pick up kids in the area, I can tell you we could have a vibrant children's ministry here on Wednesday nights. But going out and doing those visits and kind of connecting with these kids, I mean, there's a lot of kids that'll come, but they got to know they have a regular ride. And it's just more than just a couple people can do. So there's one opportunity. We need to have a work day around here too, don't we, brother? One of these days, and kind of spruce up some stuff. And man, I'd just love to have that. And I'd love to hear people joyfully say, yeah, we want to be there, you know? But it's just hard to keep planning stuff and everybody's saying later. Because, like, it's like bringing more judgment on ourselves when we do that. Yeah, and things aren't going to get done like that. But what I really want you to know is more than just getting things done, you will feel so much better in your walk with the Lord when you say yes to Jesus. Whatever it is He's calling. So, you have something on your heart you see needs to be done around here, or something that you, an outreach you'd like to see done, don't be afraid to talk to me about it. But know that if God's giving you that vision, it's because He wants you involved in it. Okay? So that's what we'll do, is we'll work together to make that thing happen. Is if it's really in the Lord, He'll make it happen. Amen? Amen. Let's be a part of it. All right, do we have... let's see. Before we do birthdays and anniversaries, Bonnie, can we pray for you?